Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
As we all know, in South Africa, we fondly and very proudly celebrate Women's Month in the month of August. That's as we head towards the 9th of August, this coming Saturday, in commemoration of the various female leaders, the Lillian Ngoyis, the Sarah DeBrains, Sonia DeBrains, and many others who actively participated in shifting the narrative around women carrying passes back in the 1950s. Now, it's shifted from a political move and, of course, heightened the level of female participation in the economy. But where are we now with the status quo around women's wellness when it comes to finances? How are we navigating the financial tightrope? We are joined on the line by representative from Momentum Corporate, Ntombi Zamasal Khlophe, also known as Zama, joining us on the show tonight to help us unpack some of these details going forward. Zama, thank you so much for your time. I'm hoping I can refer to you as such, but more than happy to call you Ntombi Zamasal. Welcome to the show.
No. Hi, thank you so much. Zama is perfectly fine. I just use Ntombi Zamasal so it's easy for people to find me.
Ah, fantastic. Yes, that LinkedIn profile is important there.
Yeah.
Zama, I get excited when we talk about the role of women when it comes to creating wealth, right? Because there are plenty of studies that highlight our financial responsibility, our risk profile and appetite, but also just how when women are involved in creating wealth for themselves and co-creating it, it has a multiplier effect in terms of its impact on our communities, our family, our loved ones, and even our own personal development. So maybe let's just start there to contextualize the data that we'll be unpacking today and what it does look at regarding women navigating a financial tightrope.
Yeah, so look, it's interesting that you bring up the multiplier effect, because some of what we have to face is the compounding effect when it comes to expenses for women. So that same multiplier in terms of where, how far reaching women are, because they take care of it. I think it's about 42% of households in South Africa are headed by women. So quite a fair bit of our population is really taking care of that. That's the first thing. The second thing that's really concerning, though, for us is that women, even though take care of so many households, we retire with up to about 40% less than men, even though we will live longer than men and we will look after more people for a much longer time period. And that's some of what we have to start thinking about, is this wonderful wealth multiplier. What is it that we're putting in? Right. And how much do we actually have to be able to take care of all of these people that everyone relies on us for doing that? And that's a big part of what we're trying to get this month, certainly, for women to pay a little bit more attention to.
And that's really important, as you say. And I think the data that you also share regarding retirement is so critical, because these are numbers we take for granted by thinking that, oh, well, by the time we reach retirement, the table and the playing field is level. But there are many juggling spots or hassles and inequalities that women continue to face. Maybe talk us through that, not only in terms of financial advice, but the gender pay parity and, of course, retirement.
Yeah, look, it really is true. For a really long time, women are financially responsible. And I think whether it's because culturally or financially, or even from research that we can find, we know women are carrying a lot of the financial load in this country. But what we're finding is that women are spending more on other people than on themselves. So we've got this real pressure point from what we call a preservation crisis. So even if we look at the percentage of people who withdrew during Tupot, many more of them were women than there were men, which was really concerning. So, for example, there are times where women will decide, you know what, my personal circumstances also perhaps not be as ambitious, not work as hard, not accelerate my career as fast. And so as a result, we just keep being just a step behind in many ways that contribute to the source of money that women will need in the long run. And those are things we actually have to have a really, really in-depth conversation with women, if it were possible, for each of us to be having a much more honest conversations with ourselves about what we need.
Let's start right here. We never know which or how many women are listening, but I can assure you there are quite a few. I can call them out, the Dumzas, the Mubulawas, the Malitzimas from Springs, who typically listen in on the show. Where should we start then when it comes to assessing what it is that we want? Because typically we think, well, you know, I'm earning a great salary. I drive a nice car. I just moved into a nice new place. I'm able to take care of my family. But the truth is, it's not just about the now. This is long-term planning to build wealth. So what are the considerations we should keep in mind?
You know, Google, I say this a lot to people. I have had the great fortune of being employed since I started working. I started working when I was 21. I've never had an employment break. In that time, it's probably about, 17, 18 years now, I did not understand what employee benefits were until I started working in the category. I actually did not understand what my employer was giving me. I didn't get this deduction that was happening every month. And to be honest, I never asked. It was just, this is the gross, this is the net, and I cared about the net. There is a lot that employers are actually legislated to provide for you. Yes. That's the first thing. If you have a job and you have benefits, talk to your benefit counselors. There are people who actually get paid to explain what's happening there. There is everything from pension back home loans, which is something that, again, I did not know that I can get something up to like prime minus one on a home loan. Ooh. Without having to go to the banks. Mm. If you didn't know that and you were employed, you should probably look into it.
Yep. Especially if you're full-time employed, right? The benefits that essentially come. Yeah, got you.
Absolutely. So the first thing is, if you do have the privilege of being full-time employed in South Africa, you are missing a trick if you're not using your actual benefits. Know them, understand them. They are all sorts of added value things. I mean, just this year, I learned you don't actually have to pay a doctor a physical fee, because guess what? In my portfolio, it's free. I can actually get a consultation with a doctor without having to pay the 600-800 rand. And those kinds of things add up. So I think that's the first thing, definitely, that every full-time employed woman with benefits should do. Just know them inside out. Know every single benefit, know every rand and cent that's already being spent on you. And the second thing...
Sure, go ahead.
No, it's fine.
I was actually going to ask, it's important that we also understand where to find this information, right? Because you get a new job, you get a full-time or permanent contract, and then you just look at the numbers these are the deductions and this is my net salary, as you said. But we actually need to go deeper into interrogating what kind of pension fund am I invested in. It might be an umbrella fund, but what am I exposed to? What are these benefits? How long do they last for? And also how they cover me, but also my loved ones, right? And I'm just keen to understand.
Absolutely.
Is my first point of call the HR manager or the financial institution that's assisting with the benefits?
Yeah, the best place to start is always with your HR manager, and chances are they will point you in the direction of what we call a retirement benefit counselor. And they are the people, like I say, who are legislated to help you understand what are your benefits. So they describe what your fund is. They'll tell you what is embedded value, what is extra value, which options you have. They will break down what your employer has actually opted into. And that's very easy to find. Most financial services providers will give you a direct line to them. You don't even have to tell the HR practitioner that you are engaging with them. And so that's definitely where I would suggest someone start. Tomorrow, ask HR, please send me the number of the RBC people. The other thing is, don't ignore the emails you get from all these providers that come from work.
Yes.
Honestly, like, I literally work in the department where our job is to educate the members of the fund about the benefits they have. And all too often, we are all just like, oh, another email. But if you know that you are there to make sure that employment can be a wealth creation system for you, then you have to be alert. It's like ignoring that there's a sale at the end of the season. Why would you ignore it? Pay attention to it and decide whether or not you're going to engage. So that definitely is where I would get everyone to start. And then I think the second place is, and I say this with so much plea, get a financial advisor.
Yes.
Just get one. It is, at the beginning, honestly, I won't lie, it's a nuisance, guys. It's a nuisance, all the filling in forms and the declaring this and the this piece of paper and that piece of paper, but it is short-term pain for long-term gain. Get a financial advisor, because they can understand what you have built in your benefits, what you are covered for, what you are not covered for. They know the rules of the way that the different financial products work, which one will pay out, which one won't. They'll tell you if you are overextended on one thing and underinsured on another. It is just, it's like the way that someone actually explained it to me is that not having a financial advisor is like asking a toddler to figure out how to feed themselves.
Yeah, that is true.
They need a parent.
Precisely, like, right? Because it's going to be a mess at the end of the day. They know
it's going to be a mess.
That's true. And I think what I appreciate...
They just know that stuff
What I appreciate about what you're sharing as well, Zama, is the fact that it needs to be personalized. Everyone is on a different journey in terms of life experience, life responsibilities. And you could have a 45-year-old who has never been married, has no kids, has no dependent, but loves to travel and is full of adventure. And a 45-year-old who has three kids, taking care of extended family members, might have a health condition. And these are all aspects, you know, two people in the same job, same age, maybe even the same demographic.
And completely different realities. 100%. Completely. And I think that, you know, it's strange because I think one of the things that we hold very strongly, apologies for that, Coco, that we hold very strongly for some reason, is that no one's going to understand my situation. And that's the point. Your situation is the answer. No financial advisor can offer any generic advice. Yeah. And if you find that someone is giving you generic advice, find another one.
Yeah.
Find the person who completely understands your personal context and uses it to give you the right recommendations. And I think that that's the most important thing. You can't give up on yourself. There is too much that you're going to be responsible for too long for you to give up on the things that are going to make it easier for you to face whatever life is going to throw your way. And we all are going to deal with different things. Some of us are going to have aging parents. Mm. Some of us will have children who are dependents for longer than we would have liked. And so when we're all dreaming of retirement, we're thinking of sailing away into the moonlight. But sometimes it actually means just being responsible for the things that you have in your life for a little bit longer than you would have liked. Yeah. But it doesn't have to be a burden if you are actually honest about it and you actively prepare yourself for it. And hopefully we can transform what life is for women in their golden years just by working a little bit harder when you still have the energy to.
100%. Zama, I might be going off track here, but I do think it's important for us also just to reflect. I'm aware Momentum Corporate did a report quite a significant number of two-pot withdrawals in the last financial year. And I'm quite keen to understand, you know, for women specifically, are there any stats or figures that you can share in that regard? But more so, any lessons that we can walk away with just to understand how, as women, preservation is still critical, especially given the fact that you mentioned that we typically retire for a lot longer and have less money.
Yeah, look, there were a couple of things that did stand out to us from a female point of view in terms of two-pot. And I'm just trying to pull up some of what I have on hand. Just give me 1 second. The thing that I do recall was surprising for us was that there were a number of women who withdrew towards the 40 to 45-year-old age group, which presented quite a unique difference because it felt like there was an age difference that was a big factor in this. And we didn't necessarily see the same burden from a male perspective. Okay. So that for us was really interesting. The other thing that we found is that the age difference also came up quite significantly in terms of the provinces. So overall, Gauteng was probably the biggest province from a withdrawal point of view, but it was skewed largely towards male, whereas the other provinces were skewed towards female, which is just some of what we found a little bit interesting in terms of who was withdrawing where. But beyond that, there weren't really massive, massive differences in terms of what we found. And in, even just in terms of withdrawal, it's not like it was skewed towards lower income people. It was all sorts of income bands that we saw. So the reality of wanting access to that savings pot clearly didn't have an income band persuasion, which I think a lot of people thought it would. It really was more a function of what it was that people wanted to do at the time. And then the thing for us that we are most interested in now is how to help people recontribute. Because while we fully understand withdrawing from your retirement savings is supposed to be something that can help in times like these, the point is about putting that money back. And that's really the point that, that we make about preservation, is that when you do have additional bonuses, when you do have monies that you've saved up, making sure that you are contributing equally to your retirement savings so that you're catching up on the money that you would have perhaps lost from that tax deduction and, of course, from a time point of view in terms of investment. And that's really what we're finding now, is trying to get people to refocus on understanding you've got access to this, but put it back. Just like how with any savings for emergencies, there's nothing wrong with using it, but then you've got to put it back so that it's always available to you for future.
Yes, and benefit from the power of compounding, right? Compound interest, the eighth wonder of the world.
That's the whole game. I wish that was something, again, those small things that I probably should have paid attention to more in maths than I would have liked. But the whole game is compound interest. It's it's literally the whole thing. If you know nothing else, it's time and each amount on top of the next. And I think the interesting thing about thinking about retirement is it is designed and structured so that it preserves your capital.
Yes.
And I think that's one of the things that maybe people don't really appreciate about the way that investments for retirement work. There's a lot of effort on making sure that every single cent that you earn in your lifetime is available to you when you retire. So the risk appetite, the way that the money is handled, the amount of regulation in this industry, specifically to make sure that people's money is protected. It's probably one of the most regulated components of financial services. And people should really rely on it more and use it for their advantage. And the more, I mean, if I think about how much more you get out of retirement savings, if you contribute there versus anywhere else, I'm amazed when some of the teams in our business run the calculations of the actual return on your investment if you contribute to retirement savings versus contributing to any other savings vehicle. It's the comparison is it almost doesn't exist. You are better off putting money away for retirement, even just for tax reasons.
Yes.
You will be taxed less because it was for retirement rather than just being taxed for normal savings vehicles. But I think that's really that's the benefit of having an advisor, someone who can actually legitimately explain that to you, just how these financial instruments work, and they can take out the confusion and what sounds like advice for other people, and they can really start to get specific about your numbers and what your calculations can be and give you a real sense of what your future can look like. And that's something that I would love every single woman, certainly in my generation, to have. I'd love for us to not be as afraid of retirement as our mothers were, or as confused as our grandmothers were. It would be wonderful to walk into that season with a real sense of we worked for what life we want right now, and that we feel fully, fully competent.
Yes.
And prepared for what's coming.
Oh, man. Zama, you took the words right out of my mouth, because that is exactly what we strive for, right? For both men and women, but mm-hmm. women more so, given that it is Women's Month. And of course, we understand just that the dire levels of inequality that still exist when it comes to adequate wealth creation, financial advice, and of course, the necessary support to reach our financial goals. Thank you so much again for your time today, Zama. Looking forward to Womentum. And again, just reminding women, yes, that regardless of where you are in life, what your journey is, we can all truly live our lives successfully and reach our financial goals and personalize them
for
us. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And good luck to your listeners. And if anyone really does need a financial advisor, honestly, reach out. I would sooner have competitors getting more people, as long as more women are doing it. We just need this turned around. It's about time.
Definitely. Advice. Financial advice for success is critical. Zama, such a pleasure. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you.
Zama Hlophe, joining us from Momentum Corporate. She is the Chief Marketing Officer there, giving us some insight into how women are navigating a financial tightrope. And if there are three takeaways as a woman and as a man that you must share with a woman, is the fact that, number one, financial advice. Speak to a professional. It's one thing to listen to Kaya Biz. Trust me, I love our interaction and engagement, but my work would have been in vain if not only do you not learn anything from the conversations we have, but that it doesn't propel you into action. And that's fundamentally the purpose of what I fulfill here, and my life's purpose to a large extent. Get a financial advisor. Hear the suggestions here, hear the possibilities here, but make sure you speak to a professional who can customize this to your personal needs. Number two, make sure that you follow through with the necessary plan. And yes, a financial plan, like any other plan, can be reviewed. You can change your mind. You can look at different options. You can evolve. You can change, because that's what happens in life. Things happen and things change. And that's how you actually do need to communicate that as well with your financial advisor. We do need to prioritize preservation as well. In as much as accessing your two-pot money might be nice, first of all, it's an administrative process. Number two, your money gets taxed. And thirdly, you are locking in losses and just withdrawing from the future gains you could make over the long term. Truth is, if you speak to any financial advisor, I am not one, and this is not considered financial advice, But if you can avoid it, rather keep to the preservation. There are other alternatives you can pursue if you need some kind of cash flow injection. But speak to a financial advisor there. But make sure that we are able to reach pay parity. And if that's not possible, we also need to know that women are living longer. We need a little bit more money to survive and keep ourselves going. And also life dynamics aren't as predictable as what they used to be in the past. Whether it's your dependents, whether it's being part of the sandwich generation and looking after aging parents, siblings, and elderly loved ones, all of these are themes that we need to be mindful of. Share your thoughts.
Evening, Gugu, and thank you so much for bringing Uzama. What you're talking about, guys, is very, very important and interesting. But I'm heartbroken. Why I'm saying that? What if you have HR, just the HR, because they say is the name says HR, because all the company they have to have HR, but when it comes to work, none. You go ahead, HRT, don't call me, I will call you when you need help. So in things like this, I'm heartbroken because where I'm going to ask while I don't have HR.
You know, regarding the two parts, I'm one of those who actually withdrew my two parts, and it was largely due to finance. I'm not proud of it. However, one thing I wasn't really happy about was the amount of charges that I incurred when I did my withdrawal. I mean, isanlami icharge over 500 rand admin fee, and that fee is even much more expensive compared to the brokerage and the selling costs. So it ended up really not being worth it when I actually did that withdrawal. It's just that I had things I needed to do. And, you know, being self-employed, there are just those pressures.
My heart is so broken, Hore. I just get this information at my late 50s. I feel how, you know what, I'm even scared to retire. Okay, I'm full-time employed. If I knew this 20 years ago, I would be not even be scared to retire, but now I am so scared to retire because of I don't think I'm ready. I just bought a house now, and will I be ready to retire? I'm not sure. And our HR, when you go there and want to ask information, we don't even get it because of our HR consultant. She's alone and assigned interns, and this information we needed it. And I was advised not to withdraw from the two part because of I was going to be taxed, like just explain now. And I had to tell my colleagues, Hore, you know what, guys, you are above my age. You can't go to two part and do that because of you want just to withdraw. Think about your future.
Yeah, on this 1 month thing. Yeah, no, you know what, Ash, honestly, we get these contracts, we work at the companies, we just get happy for to see numbers. But we don't go to the specific things like your benefits. Yeah, she just opened my eyes. I think I'll be starting to scrutinize my pay slip and check what are the benefits there. What can I benefit from my benefit? Yeah, that's so informative. I'm out of words. And thanks for that eye opening. It's not just about the number. Just check what are the benefits.
Yes, when somebody talks retirement, I stress. I really stress. I'm not going to lie. Because when I started working, if I had everything, or if I knew everything that I know now, yes, I would have made such better decisions, hey? The plan was to retire at 55. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. That's in 10 years. I know the light at the end of a tunnel doesn't look like a rainbow. It looks like a train. But we try. Every day we try with shows like this to find out if there's anything we can do better to try and cap, I don't know, make up for the time we lost. But yeah, the struggle of a black female. Yeah.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.